Well, it's great to be back again. And I'll start by thanking Conrad and Franziska for bringing me here and hosting me at my second home in Lucerne. This is now the 12th year, so I know we're getting older. How many people here have never done Feldenkrais before? A couple. Okay, so I'll spend a little time talking about the method and how it was developed. And then we'll go more into the theme of the workshop and do more movement. So it was developed by Moshe Feldenkrais, who was, from my experience, a real genius. He understood some very fundamental things about what it means to be a human being. And he developed the method because of his own injuries to his knees. And in recovering, he started reading more anatomy, neurology, physiology, really to come to understand what was he doing and how was he doing it. Because some days his knees hurt and some days they didn't hurt. So he figured, I must be doing something different. And he taught himself to walk with his bad knees without pain. And he had bad knees for his whole life. Sometimes they would get irritated, but he knew how to move around them. He also had a tremendous interest in learning. He was one of those people who was like a learning machine. He studied everything. He was interested in everything. And he was interested in how we learn. And his studies of himself and his studies of learning brought him to a different understanding of our nervous system. Back in the 1940s, he proposed many ideas about how our nervous system might be functioning. And many of those ideas have been proven to be true today. So he was quite ahead of his time in many ways. He developed two modalities within the Feldenkrais method. The first was functional integration, which is done privately with people. And it's hands-on, it's very gentle. It's so gentle that most people will keep waiting for it to start, and then it's over. When I first had it done with me, I thought, oh, this, what a waste of money. This guy is barely, he doesn't know what he's doing. But when I stood up, I had no pain. And I said to the guy, what did you do? He said, I was helping your body do what it's doing. And I thought, huh, it's a secret. Because it didn't make any sense to me. But I got more and more interested in it, obviously. And then over time, Moshe thought, well, there's just so many people I can work with individually. He actually said that the population of the world is growing so fast, there's no way he could catch up. So he invented another modality called awareness through movement, which is what we'll be doing in here together today and tomorrow. And the thinking behind them is the same. That's very hard sometimes for people to understand because the application seems so different in terms of how they're done. And when he was alive, he trained 300 people. And I was fortunate to work with him. Sometimes people say, oh, you were so lucky to work with Dr. Feldenkrais. Okay, so forgive me, Moshe, but I think trainings are better today. So he was brilliant at understanding something. And enough to the degree that people could be trained in it even past his death. And Feldenkrais has practiced in 35 countries now. So what we'll be exploring in here is based in learning. And that learning is based in movement. So we have the idea of awareness through movement. Now, I imagine everyone here has some interest in awareness. But I don't know that that's true of the general population in the world. If I went out into the street and stopped 20 people and said, would you like more awareness? Some would say yes. Some would go, huh? It's not part of their consciousness. And awareness is a tricky thing. Because when people think about becoming more aware, they think that they're only going to become aware of the good things. So that's part of the bad news about awareness. That when we become aware of everything. Now, there's other bad news about awareness. Maybe this is not a good way to start out. I don't know. Don't worry. I have other ideas. I'll bring you back. Don't worry. So, you know, the thing about awareness is it's irreversible. You can't become unaware. You can't become ignorant again. The most you can do is to go into denial about something. But that takes as much work as being aware. So we might as well be aware. So now, then the question is, well, what could I ask 20 people on the street that they would all want, that we can practice in here? So some years ago, I was creating a workshop on self-image. And those of you who've worked with me before, you've heard this before. I talk about this in every context that I teach in. And honestly, I feel like I can't say it enough to people because I think it's that important. So when I was developing this workshop on self-image, I started to think that our self-image was a reflection of how much we like ourselves or how much we don't like ourselves. So if I like myself, I have a good self-image. And if I don't like myself, I don't have such a great self-image. And after exploring this idea for a number of years, I actually started to think, this is my job to help people like themselves more. And I used the Feldenkrais method to do it. Now, it sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Because like I said, if I stopped 20 on the people on the street and said, would you like to like yourself more? They would all say yes. Who wouldn't want that? But there's a catch. The minute you think about liking yourself more, what else do you start thinking about? What do you think?
She has to change to like herself more.
You have to change something. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing we think of first, of all the things we have to change. Or we think of all the things we don't like about ourselves. And so then we're faced with being unhappy again. So how do we come to like ourselves more?
She has to learn to accept herself.
Yeah, so that's part of it, but how do we do that? That's the question. Because most of the time when we want to accept ourselves or like ourselves more,
To forgive,
to accept ourselves, all of these things are important. But my experience is almost all the things we think of that we want to accept, forgive, come to like, are connected to our lives in a very strong way. So we want a specific outcome to happen. And that produces an extra level of challenge. Some people do affirmations to like themselves more. So they take a workshop for 2 days, and for 2 days they sit there going, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. And maybe it helps. It does help some people. But then when the 2 days are over, what happens? What can they take with them? They can repeat that same thing to themselves. And here we get to do it in a different way. Here we get to do it through movement. And so that for those of you who are new to Feldenkrais, one of the basic ways that we explore movement is moving in a way that we like the way it feels. That's really different than most movement modalities. In most other contexts of movement, we push ourselves, we look for strain or effort, no pain, no gain, that idea. Here we're looking to really evoke a particular quality of movement. And what I've found that's really interesting is that when we practice it outside of the context of our everyday life, we're less attached to any outcome. And in fact, when we practice it in this non-context context, it gives us the chance for that to start to move into the rest of our life, sort of coming in through the back door. So, that's one of the things we'll be doing in here, is practicing liking ourselves more. But it's a process. I'm still practicing. So at the end of 2 days, it's not like, great, at the end of 2 days, you're going to like yourself more. No, I would say it's more accurate to say that at the end of 2 days, you'll have more means to practice liking yourself more. So let's talk a little bit about the workshop. A basic understanding of how you do everything you do, almost. Because I don't have all the answers. That's a big statement. This morning I actually said to Conrad, I said, what did I write in the blurb? I can't remember. I said, did I say this or this? He said, no, that's good. It's very wide open. I could teach anything. So you came to the workshop either for one of three reasons, probably four reasons. Maybe you've worked with me before and you like working with me. Or maybe you just love Feldenkrais, so you came just to do that. Or maybe you had nothing to do this weekend. Or maybe there was something in the title that interested you, that you thought you were going to get a basic understanding of something. So is there anything that you had in mind that you thought you would come to understand by being here? So to understand yourself more, understand some problems? Good. Yeah, and I'm repeating you because this is being recorded, that's why. What else? Why else did you come?
She'd like to integrate the posture or the attitude she has when she does Feldenkrais or other movement things into her everyday life.
Good. That's good. Great. Anyone else? Okay. So people come for different reasons. So what does it mean to have a basic understanding of everything we do? I said before that Moshe was a genius. And he was a genius in two really strong ways. One way is in his ability to synthesize a method that's grown all over the world. But to me, his real genius was in understanding how fundamental movement is to our lives. And that it crosses through every single culture. It's so pervasive and so important to all of our lives, to the world's cultures, that it's overlooked. It's not understood. It's taken for granted. There's a book by Alain Berthoz called The Brain Sense of Movement. And in it, he makes an argument for creating a sixth sense. And that sixth sense would be movement. Now, what we're going to do in here is sort of look at some of the building blocks of movement so that it can help you with your problems. It can help you carry it into your everyday activities. So, our movements, when we think of our movements, we generally think of activities. We think of running, swimming, dancing, making love, all kinds of different things. But when we think of them as specific activities, we get a gestalt of the whole activity. And if we try to learn tennis, we try to learn the whole thing of tennis. But every single one of these, all the activities that we do, consist of four very basic patterns of movement. Those patterns are, I'm going to describe them in different ways. Those patterns are flexion, extension, side bending, and rotation. And those are words we've created to describe movement. But most people don't use those words. I've never had anyone come to a Feldenkrais class or a private session and say, you know, my flexion isn't what it could be. They'll say things like, I can't bend, or I can't reach, or I can't turn, because those actions are connected to an environment and an intention. The movements of flexion, extension, side bending, and rotation, they're just movements. They're not in any context. But we're going to explore those movements over the next 2 days. And through them, see how does it affect your running, your swimming, your playing an instrument, everything that you do. Now, I need to say something about these words, about these movement patterns. They're not pure. They don't exist as pure things. That means when someone rotates or turns, there's always some side bending or maybe some flexion or extension in there. And that these different patterns influence each other. So when we do the movements, I'm not expecting you to only do that pattern of action. You'll feel other things as well. So, why don't we just begin? A few more criteria for those of you who are new. As I said, first, to move in a way that you like the way it feels. Second, if you have any pain or discomfort, make it smaller and slower. And if it's still irritating, you call me over. You might get sleepy during the movements or drift off because we're not used to using our attention this way. But if you drift off and get lost, just raise your hand. I'll tell you what we're doing. And I need to ask a general question of you all. Some of you have spoken to me already. But does anyone have any kind of pain or injury that I should know about? What? The right shoulder? Okay. And what movements irritate it? Can you move your arm around? Not so much. Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah? Your shoulder, right shoulder too? Yeah? Okay. Okay. So it's on your right side. Okay. Yeah?
When she rotates in the lower back, she has the sciatic pain down the leg.
Okay. Anyone else? Usually if I wait long enough, everyone says something. So look, so it may be that you also don't want to say it in the group. That's okay. So at the next break, you can talk to me and say, well, I've got this. And so I'll look to adapt the lesson for all your difficulties as well.